Hazard Audio.
This week, Steve and Matt talk MLB, wrap up the comprehensive NFL preview, and get into RG3 and Johnny Football. It's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it, because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
We're on Twitter. Hit us up at The Sports Appeal. All of our music on the show is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band. You can get all their stuff on iTunes or Spotify or their YouTube channel. With us, as always, is our producer, Johnny Five.
We are powered by Hazard Audio.
This week's show, we're going to wrap up our NFL preview with the NFC North and AFC East, the last two divisions that we have to do. We're going to talk about RG3 and Johnny Football a little bit. Well, let's start with Major League Baseball. The wild card races are really shaping up.
Yes, they are. The wild card race in the AL is especially interesting. You've got the Blue Jays 4 games out in front, but after that, it is just a shit show. For the second wild card spot, there are 6 teams all within 3.5 games of each other. You've got the Angels, the Rangers, the Orioles, the Twins, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Detroit Tigers, all just crammed in together there, fighting for that second wild card spot.
And the reason there's so many teams there is because they're all just average teams. The Tigers are only 3.5 games out, and they have a losing record. So, I mean, the American League, there's not really any front runners like there are in the National League with the Cardinals and the Pirates.
Hell, the White Sox are only 5 games out, and they suck.
Wow. Can't believe a Cubs fan just said that. The Blue Jays are 4 games ahead for the first wild card spot right now, but they're only 1 game behind the Yankees for the AL East lead. So they could easily take that, and then the Yankees would be fighting for that wild card spot. So there's a lot of moving pieces going on in the American League.
Now, in the National League, you've got the Pirates that are 3 games ahead of the Cubs, and then you've got the Giants 4 games behind the Cubs, largely thanks to the Cubs sweeping the Giants in 4 games. So things aren't nearly as interesting there. Then the fourth team is the Washington Nationals, who are 9.5 games back of the Cubs. So it's not looking like there's going to be too much of a photo finish in the National League, unlike in the AL. It is going to be interesting to see whether the Cubs or the Pirates end up taking that first wild card spot, because those two are divisional rivals. They've got a bunch of games against each other left.
It doesn't really matter, because they're just going to play each other in the one game playoff anyway. I guess home field advantage is the only difference there. But the big story is the Nationals, 9.5 games out of the wild card and 5 games behind the Mets for the NL East. They have fallen to pieces.
Yeah, they're under 500 now. They are 60-61 as of recording today. They were my World Series pick to start the season. I can't believe how terrible they look right now. They have such a stacked pitching rotation, and they have the consensus MVP of the National League on the team, Bryce Harper, who's putting up incredible numbers this year.
They just can't put it together. In the NL West, you mentioned the Giants are kind of in the hunt for the wild card, but they're definitely in the hunt for the NL West crown, because they're only 1.5 games behind the Dodgers right now, and the Dodgers haven't been playing that great lately.
Now, the Dodgers just traded for Chase Utley, and they've lost their last 3 games, so that's working out great for them.
I'm not that worried about them, because they have Grinke and Clayton Kershaw on their team, so you're in pretty good shape when you have those two guys starting 40% of your games, so I'm not too worried about the Dodgers.
Assuming they can make it to the playoffs, they are definitely a scary team. Nobody wants to go up against them in that stacked pitching rotation. And when their offense is going, they're great there too. So that's definitely a scary opponent, but they're not winning a whole lot of games at the moment. They're only 5-5 in their last 10.
So we know most of the National League playoff teams right now, and we know a handful of American League ones, but that's where the only question is about which teams are going to make it is in the American League, with that jumble of teams right at the bottom of the second wild card.
Yeah, and then one other story in the National League that's so crazy that it's almost not a story anymore because we're just tired of hearing about it is the St. Louis Cardinals. They are now 77-44, 33 games over 500, and they do it the right way. It's really incredible how well this team drafts, although the fact that they get small market compensatory draft picks does stick in my craw a little bit. But they build a team great. They have great team camaraderie. Everybody contributes. I was looking at their stats. No one on that team, especially offensively, is that outstanding. They just have a lot of really, really good players. They could really go all the way this year.
And no one's talking about the Cardinals. They're the best team in the major leagues, like, far and away. And they're just not a big media story this year.
Well, yeah, it's because they're not really a story. You want to talk about teams that are competing for division leadership or for the wild card, and they've been so far out.
And with that, Johnny Five, let's do the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
That's interesting. What we were just talking about before it goes along with our first tweet coming to us from @BrewerCar20, are the Pirates capable of taking and holding a division lead?
They're certainly capable. This is a really solid ball club. They've got good pitching. They have stars on offense. This is a really solid ball club. They've been playing really well lately. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they are catching up to the Cardinals. So they have the capability to do it.
Yeah, the Pirates are a very good team this year. They have the third best record in all of baseball right now, and they are only 4.5 games back on the Cardinals, like I had said. And they've got 6 games coming up against the Cardinals left. So if they can go 5-1 in those games, that's the difference right there. That'll put them right behind the Cardinals. Then it's just a fight till the end, with the last couple games being really decisive for the division.
Yeah, so I think bottom line what we're saying is they are capable of doing it, but it also kind of depends on what the Cardinals do, because they haven't been losing much.
No, they have not. Although they're only 6-4 in their last 10 games, which is slower than their pace has been this season.
Air quotes on only.
And our next one comes to us from @HodgeGentle. Will the Eagles be a potential playoff team this year, and how many games will they win?
Yeah, I think they're a potential playoff team. I mean, the NFC East is competitive. The Cowboys are going to be good. We know that. The Giants certainly have the potential to be good. I have questions about their defense, but their offense looks really outstanding. So, yeah, the Eagles definitely have potential.
Yeah, the Eagles are one of everybody's favorite storylines, especially going into this season, because Chip Kelly is playing fantasy football over there, and we got to see how this shit's actually going to play out in the real world. No one's really run a team like this before, and they essentially gave him full GM privileges, so he's just making all kinds of personnel changes and trading guys, doing some crazy shit that you don't normally let your head coach have the full say on. I am stoked to see how this works out. They certainly have playoff potential. We just don't know how this is going to work. So that's a big mystery to watch while the season unfolds.
Yeah, stop me if I'm wrong, but I think we feel the same way on this, that they have a lot of potential, things could work out, but we're hesitant to buy in because Sam Bradford's health is an unknown. DeMarco Murray's health is an unknown. DeMarco Murray had like 400 and something carries last year. We don't know what he's going to be this year. Ryan Matthews is always hurt. So there's a lot of questions on this team. They have the potential to be great.
And then on top of that, they've just had so much of a shakeup over the offseason. They have so many new players that all have to fit and mesh together because football is very much a team sport. So that could be another potential problem for them too. Or it could work out great. We just don't know. But that's a great question.
And our last one, @ChainsChristian1. Who will be the biggest bust this upcoming year in the NFL?
I'm looking at the Detroit Lions. A lot of people think they're going to be good this year. I kind of don't. They lost Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley on that defensive line. This is going to be a different defense than last year. They did get Haloti Ngata to kind of help replace Suh and Fairley, but the defense lost too many pieces, and I think they're going to be disappointing.
Fuck you, Steve. You stole my answer. I have to completely agree with you on that. The Detroit Lions have been built around their scary defensive line with Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley for the last several years now, and they let both of those guys walk. So they're going to be a completely different-looking team and not in a good way. And their offense has a ton of potential, don't get me wrong, but it's always been so spotty despite having all that potential. So I just don't see good things from them at all. They're probably still not going to finish last in division because my Bears are, but it's not going to be a great season for them.
Right. A lot of people are expecting them to take the next step forward. We both agree that they're going to take a step back.
And with that, we're going to head to a break, but when we come back, we've got our NFL preseason preview, part 3.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com. Welcome back to Sports Appeal, where once again, I am winning another episode against Axelrod.
Yeah, well, I'm going to win the one that counts. We'll see what happens when baseball season's over. Right now, Cubs are on pace for 93 wins. So how do you like them fucking apples?
Yeah, I'm kind of losing my hair anyway, so shaved head may be the way to go. Anyway, we were talking about the Lions in the tweet zone. So let's just keep the ball rolling and finish out the NFC North. Just real quick about the Lions to wrap them up. We talked about how their defensive line lost some good players. They brought in Haloti Ngata to try to stop the bleeding on that line, but it's not going to be the same defense. We agreed on that.
Yeah, Haloti Ngata is a quality player, but he just cannot replace what Fairland Sulaf.
Yeah, and he had kind of a rough year last year. The most exciting thing for the Lions this year is going to be Amir Abdullah, the rookie running back out of Nebraska. Everybody is on the Abdullah train. Everyone thinks he's going to be a stud, and he's proved it so far in the preseason.
Yeah, and of course, you can't talk about the NFC North without talking about the goddamn Packers. They keep winning. I don't know how they keep doing this shit. Pausing here, I have the utmost respect for the Packers organization. It pains me to say that, but they do it, and they do it well. They draft well. They sign the right guys. They keep the right guys. They were 12-4 again last year. They keep losing in the playoffs, but they're good.
There are only three players on their roster who have ever played for an organization other than the Packers. That is crazy. I can't even explain to you how crazy that is. Their biggest moves in the offseason were re-signing pieces. They didn't really do a lot of bringing in free agents, but they did really well re-signing their guys.
Yeah, they kept Randall Cobb and they kept Brian Bulaga. Both of those things needed to happen. Randall Cobb has turned into an absolute stud in the NFL. Last year, he had 91 catches for 1,287 yards and 12 touchdowns. So he's really become Aaron Rodgers' favorite target. And Brian Bulaga is a quality right tackle.
Yeah, absolutely is. And they re-signed John Kuhn, too, who's really important to that offense as a lead blocker and as a goal line back. So they did great there. The question for this team is the defense. I mean, they have an elite offense. We know that. Their defense is middle of the road, and I don't even know who their starting linebackers are right now. I mean, they have Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers, but other than that, I'm not sure who they're going to start.
We'll see. That'll be decided as the preseason unfolds. They did try and bolster the defense in the draft. They drafted safety Demarius Randall. This is their second year in a row grabbing a safety in the first round. Last year, they drafted safety HaHa Clinton Dix, who made an immediate impact for them and really had a great year. So they're definitely trying to fix the problems on that side of the ball.
Yeah, a lot of people thought they were reaching for Demarius Randall. My favorite pick of theirs in the draft was Jake Ryan, outside linebacker out of Michigan. He could be a real steal, and he's shaping up good in training camp. He could potentially be one of the starters.
Now, the other team that we haven't talked about at all yet in the NFC North is the Vikings, who are really on the rise right now. They won 7-9 last year, and they had 10 total draft picks this year. Now, most of them were later round picks, but they are definitely retooling, and they have some great talent on that team already. And their quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, had a really nice rookie season last year, showed a ton of room for growth. He's got a really high ceiling, and he's had a nice preseason so far.
Yeah, I mean, and he's the thing to keep your eye on this season is the continued development of Teddy Bridgewater. They brought in Mike Wallace in a trade. We'll see how he clicks with Teddy Bridgewater. But Bridgewater did seem to have good rapport with Charles Johnson last year, who was an undrafted free agent, I think, 3 years ago. He's bounced around to the Packers and the Browns, finally caught on with the Vikings last year, and he's got a ton of potential. He's the first real quarterback they've had in Minnesota since Dante Culpepper was good.
On the defensive side, they already have a pretty solid defense, but then they drafted Trey Waynes out of Michigan State. Trey Waynes was maybe the best cornerback in the country last year, definitely up there. I mean, that Michigan State defense was stifling, and Trey Waynes was a big reason behind it. So that should help bolster an already strong defense. And then the biggest story, of course, is they're getting Adrian Peterson back, who missed almost the entire season last year. They still almost went 500 without him. With him, I mean, he's one of the biggest difference makers in the NFL.
Moving on to the Bears, I know you're a huge Bears fan, and you're not really looking forward to this season. You think it's going to be really disappointing.
Yeah, well, not looking forward to it isn't really how I'd put it. I don't think they're going to be very good this year. I don't think they're going to be terrible, but there are a lot of questions that I want answered, and we should see the answers this year. The main thing is the defense. Last year, their defense was dreadful, but I maintain that their defensive players were merely bad or average, and their defensive coaching was god-awful. So now they have an actual quality defensive coordinator who was the DC for the 49ers the last several years and did incredible things with that team, and a defensive-minded head coach in John Fox. So we'll find out how bad the defense really is. It hasn't looked so good in the preseason so far, but it's just preseason.
Yeah, preseason doesn't really mean anything. And the Bears did allow the second most points in football last year, which is bad. I know you're kind of walking the line between bad and awful on them. I don't know why you're even making that distinction. But you're right about John Fox. He has turned teams around quickly before. Can he do it here? We'll see. They brought in Pernell McPhee. They brought in Antrell Roll, Mason Foster. These are all guys who are veterans. They could help bolster this defense. So I think they're going to improve on defense, but they've lost some pieces on offense. And I don't think this team's going to be that good.
No, they look like about a 500 team in a vacuum, maybe 9-7. But their schedule this year is brutal. The NFC North is playing against the AFC West and the NFC West this year, two of the most brutal divisions in football. I mean, the Packers can handle that. The Lions and the Vikings, maybe. The Bears are just not ready for that kind of grueling schedule at all.
Let's move on to the AFC East, where we start with last year's Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. They lead the league in Super Bowls in the last few years, and they also lead the league in cheating.
Yes, they do. Now, they were the champs. They came in at 12-4 in the regular season last year, but it looks like they're going to be without Tom Brady for a while. It's going to be intriguing to see how that plays out, because Tom Brady has his battle in court right now. They're really hoping to get that all wrapped up with an actual judicial decision before the season starts, but there's a decent chance that doesn't happen, and no one's entirely sure how that'll play out. Brady might be barred from entering the team facilities while the court battle is ongoing, in which case he's effectively suspended despite challenging in court.
Even with Brady, this looks like the weakest roster they've had in years. It's probably the best shot we've had in a long time for a team other than the Patriots to win this division. Their defense lost Darrelle Revis, Brandon Browner, Kyle Arrington. That's their top three defensive backs. Don't forget, Devin McCourty is gone, the safety, and Vince Wilfork. So their defense has a lot of new players on it this year. I have a lot of questions about their defense. The rest of this division really improved their defenses.
Yeah, but a lot of that could have been said about them last year as well. They had a ton of new faces last year. Now, the talent drop-off hasn't been as bad. I mean, when you're talking about getting rid of guys like Darrelle Revis, that obviously is going to make a huge difference. But they are really a team that seems to be able to just plug and play guys. They're almost like the Spurs of the NFL. They can just take guys that are misfits anywhere else, plug them in, and they work.
And if a team is going to win this division besides the Patriots, the Dolphins are a front runner for that. They really improved their defense a lot, and they improved their offense, too. They brought in Greg Jennings, Kenny Stills, Jordan Cameron, and don't forget they signed Ndamukong Suh. This team could be really dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. Now, signing Suh might hurt them in the long term. His cap number this year isn't bad at all. It's sub $10 million, but it just balloons next year. So that could really hurt their prospects in the long-term future. This year, they're looking great, though. And Ryan Tannehill last year, kind of under the weather, really took a step forward as a good quarterback in this league. He played all 16 games. In fact, he's played all 16 games all of his three seasons in the NFL. And he threw for over 4,000 yards at 66.4% completion rate and had a passer rating of 92.8. Those are good numbers.
He did have a good season, and he's still learning how to play quarterback. I'm looking for him to have an even better year this year. He's really a sleeper in fantasy football. Let's move on to talk about the Jets. 4-12 last year. Really, really bad. Just kind of a cloud show of an organization overall. I'm a fan, so I can say that. You can't say that, but I can say that.
They're a clown show, Steve. I'm saying it.
How dare you, sir. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic at the helm now. Definitely better than Geno Smith. Will Geno get a shot when he comes back from his jaw surgery? I don't think so, because I think Fitzmagic is going to be better.
I saw a really cool stat comparison recently. It was comparing Jay Cutler, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Andy Dalton.
Fitzmagic.
I'm sorry, Ryan Fitzmagic. And in the regular season, their stats are almost identical, and yet Fitzmagic, is making like a quarter as much as the rest of those guys.
Yeah, because he has a bad rep. He went to Harvard. You know, it's kind of a brainy school. It's not really a football school. He's had some bad seasons, but he's also had some good seasons. And his best season was with Chan Gailey as offensive coordinator. And guess who the Jets offensive coordinator is?
Chan Gailey.
So, yeah, I'm looking for the Jets to have a better year this year. Don't think they're a playoff team yet. Probably in the 8-8 range.
And real quick, we got to talk about the Bills. They went 9-7 last year, and then their head coach Doug Marrone walked. And he's still getting paid $4.5 million for this year, and somehow managed to make himself look like an ass in the process, even though he's getting paid $4.5 million to do nothing for the Bills, because he is now an assistant coordinator for Jacksonville. So it took several steps down instead of getting another head coaching job like he had hoped. He was replaced by Rex Ryan, who is just salivating to get his hands on that D.
How much are you salivating to get your hands on that D?
Yeah, that was a reporter asking Rex Ryan that question. Probably could have worded it a little bit better. The big story in Buffalo, though, is the quarterbacks, because they were looking for EJ Manuel to grab hold of the number one quarterback spot, and he hasn't done it. He's probably out of contention at this point, and it sounds like it might be Tyrod Taylor, actually, beating out Matt Castle for the starting quarterback position. So I cannot wait to see Tyrod Taylor on the field.
Yeah, EJ Manuel now, it looks like he's third on the depth charts, despite being a first-round pick just a couple years ago.
Yeah, and they got some new pieces with LeSean McCoy, Percy Harvin, Charles Clay. So the offense could be dangerous, But there's some really injury-prone guys here, and we don't know who the quarterback is.
They have a really solid defense, though, and some potential on offense, so we'll see how the season unfolds for them. Like you said, this division is more wide open than it's been in a long time. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk some more football and discuss Robert Griffin III and Johnny Football and do sports magic.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve. That guy is Matt. You know, it's not very often that we want to talk about a preseason game in depth, but this one was interesting because it was RG3 versus Johnny Manziel, and there's a lot of stories surrounding both of those guys. One of them had a good game, one of them did not. RG3 was 4 of 8 for 36 yards, and he was hit on 8 of 9 dropbacks, and the conversation around RG3 this week has been that when he gets hit harder than any other player in the NFL, and I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, and a lot of that is him not protecting himself, but then a lot of it, too, is their offensive line is not doing a very good job. In fact, a Redskins player was actually quoted as saying, "How do you keep sending him out there after the shelling he was taking?"
Yeah, the thing with him is he still thinks he's a superstar quarterback. He said that he's the best quarterback in the NFL. That is not true. He may not even be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but the fact that he still thinks he's a superstar, I mean, he's reached superstar status in his first year. He was awesome. He was unbelievable. But ever since then, it's been really, really bad, and he just doesn't see it.
Now, maybe I'm in the minority here. I don't have any problem with him saying that. I think every quarterback or every player needs to go out with the mentality that I am the best player at my position in the league. I have no problem with that. Now, maybe you shouldn't say it out loud until he backs it up a little more. But to his credit, when he was questioned further about it, he said, "I know there are guys in the league who have done more than me, but I still think that I am the best player, the most talented player."
That doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, it doesn't. I mean, he gets hurt all the time. When he does play, he's terrible. His own team doesn't like him. His head coach hates him. How does he think this? I don't get it.
You just have to. You have to go out with that mentality every day, or else what's the fucking point?
I guess, man. I don't know.
I mean, he's obviously not. He's obviously been terrible when he's played the last several years, but I'd love to see him get back to where he was because he was so exciting to watch. And speaking of guys who are exciting to watch, Johnny Manziel. Now, that kid, I was watching this game, and he had one series where he was just throwing lights out. He had a completion for like 37 yards to a diving wide receiver. He put it in the only place the ball could have gone with the coverage he was under. And then a couple plays later, he stepped up in the pocket under pressure for a beautiful touchdown pass.
RG3 should be taking a page out of Johnny Manziel's book. I never thought I'd be saying that. But RG3 is so concerned with his image. Like, that's all he does is talk about his image and his brand. And Manziel is just shutting up. He's putting in the work. He's playing football. And he's getting better. He's improving. He scored a rushing touchdown. And he didn't do the Money Manziel sign. It killed me a little bit inside to see him not do it. But it was such a good sign.
Yeah, it was honestly hilarious to see him do that. Because he had the fist pump going. And you could see on his face, like, "I don't know what to do with my hands."
"I'm not sure what to do with my hands."
Yeah, so I never thought I'd be saying that Johnny Manziel is being the mature one and making progress and somebody should be taking notes from him, but I honestly believe that to be true.
Now, it's just been for a short period of time, really, since he decided to send himself to rehab and then since he's come out. He's really done all the right things and he's playing better. He's shutting up. He's putting his nose to the grindstone and getting to work. We'll see if he can keep this up because it's very out of character for him, but I love what I've seen from him so far.
Right, and my point with this is that Robert Griffin III should take a page from him in the way that Johnny Manziel has realized he's not going to be a superstar in this league, and he's just trying to be a good NFL player. Robert Griffin III still thinks he's a superstar. He's still trying to be a superstar. If he took it down a little bit and was just tried to be a good NFL player, he has all the tools to do it.
He does. He needs to be a student of the game and learn how to play within his means and realize that he can't just outrun everybody out there anymore because that's how he keeps getting himself hurt.
And with that, let's do Sports Madness.
Sports Madness.
been a lot of stories lately about fights going on among teams in training camps, and there's been a lot of debate about whether it's a good thing or bad thing, and whether teams should crack down on this. NFL analyst and Hall of Famer Chris Carter chimed in, saying he doesn't think it's good for team building and all that. And he went on to tell a story about when he was on the Eagles with Buddy Ryan coaching the team. That team was infamous for having fights every day. And he said that it got so bad one day, one of his teammates, he didn't say who, left the practice field, went to his car to get a gun.
Yeah, he pulled an Agent Zero on him. I mean, that shit's crazy. That pretty much ended Gilbert Arenas' career, among injuries, but that certainly didn't help. That's not cool. You can't fucking bring a gun to a team fight.
It's a different time, man. A lot of shit happened back then that's not going to happen these days.
Now, our next story comes to us from the Ravens. Former Ravens cheerleader just got sentenced to spend 48 weekends in jail. Now, she filleted a 15-year-old boy. And I'm not saying this isn't a crime. It seems like there's a perception where when it's the girl that's underage, it's rape. And then when it's the boy that's underage, hey, good for him. No, it's not fucking cool. You can't, as a 40-something-year-old woman, give head to a 15-year-old boy. However, I think his parents laid it on a little thick. Here's a quote from the boy's father. At the end of the day, there's nothing we can do to take this pain away from him. Bullshit, I'm not buying it. I don't believe this kid is complaining about this. I just don't buy it.
Not at all. I'm in Axelrod's camp, Steve.
Let's go to the next story. Linebacker Chris Borland shocked everyone by retiring from the NFL after 1 year this past March. A month later, in April, the NFL sent him a letter notifying him that he's been randomly selected for a drug test, even though he's no longer in the league.
Can they do that?
Apparently they can, because they just did. So he weighed his options, and he decided to take the drug test, but he also sent the sample to an independent lab and paid them to have it analyzed. Both tests came back negative, but the reason that he did this is he thought he was being set up. He thought the NFL was going to say, oh, he was on performance-enhancing drugs, and that's why he's having brain damage from these concussions, which is what he's preaching as the reason for his retirement. So he thought he's being set up, so he sent a separate sample to an independent lab. But what is this by the NFL? Just randomly drug testing a guy after he retires?
Yeah, I've never heard of that before. That's fucking ridiculous.
I don't know why he did it. Just say no. Just don't do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, then it does look bad, and he is weighing a comeback. He's definitely considering coming back to the league, and it could look bad if he then, you know, had refused a drug test. It could cause the presumption that he was doing performance-enhancing drugs. Now, if he's doing recreational drugs, who gives a shit? He's not under contract anymore. But doing PEDs while he's off and then coming back, I'm not saying he's doing that at all. But if he were to do that, that could potentially be a problem for the league.
Test came back negative. He's not doing that. Nope. I just don't like this from the NFL at all.
Yeah, I think it's a shady move by them.
No class.
That'll do it for today. Thanks for listening. We are produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio, and playing us out is going to be Undertow by Full Circle.
Just another grape on the vine, waiting to be plucked, but he's running out of time. I don't know. Steve fast, slow, Undertow. Turning into grapes, steady turning into wine. Wonder why, never tried to live my life. Hour after hour, I am sour in my mind. I don't know, steep, fast, slow, undertow. I'll never know. My lips and flesh are cold. Turning into one, wonder why, never try to live my life. Hour after hour, I am sour in my mind. I don't know, steep, fast, slow, undertow.
magic.
Hazard Audio.